very, very great privilege to have Ban Hui and Jasmine here. The Salem Church, Salem Chapel in Singapore, they've always been an oasis of ministry of blessing, and we've always kind of only been friends. Ban Hui knows every incredible eating spot in Singapore. Hallelujah! And we just have a lot of fun. He's always upbeat. He is the techie pastor. So he's trying to get me techie because the Spirit of God is convicting me of my non-techiness. But we love him very much. We have been really praying, and you guys can pray. Okay, don't listen. I'm going to be talking about you guys. We're really praying that Salem Church, they just really love Lori and I. And they just, when we come there, they just put their wings of love and protection around us. And they're close to India. I know for sure you guys are not close to India. I started traveling on the 4th, and cancellation of flight at 1 in the morning. So I missed that night of sleep. 2 hours of sleep at the hotel at 10 in the morning. Rushed to the airport, waiting to get in the airport for 2 hours because Air Canada didn't have our stuff ready. We were just, all of us, 300 people standing there like idiots. And 4:30, for sure we're going to fly. We get in there and they cancel the 4:30 flight. And then, meanwhile, I was the last one to get rebooked 4 in the morning, the next morning, and a 24-hour flight to Vancouver. Just amazing and very exciting. So, but Pastor Ban Hui can get on the plane and fly 4 hours, and he's in the city that we live in. And so they are very mature, tremendous ministry. This is a great pastor, okay? This is not an ordinary guy. He oversees many countries. They have missionaries in China and many other countries. They have their own missions in 6 countries. Onesimus is a therapeutic garden. It is a garden for migrants to learn world-class agricultural techniques, hydroponics, which is growing plants in water, G-Farm, which is a certain type of soil preparation they use so they get a crop almost once a month with minimal water. But we're looking at it to bring that into India because we minister in some of the poorest parts of India, and we're just really excited about. I did light a little fire under Ban Hui and caught his vision past his area of Asia, places like Nepal. And we have about 20 pastors in Nepal that I run with, and also many, many in very, very poor areas. And so we're really excited of the possibility of bringing world-class agricultural techniques to break poverty. Now, these guys are totally evangelical. You know, you can pray for Ban Hui and I. We're speaking on Tuesday to Rotary, which is a bunch of mostly non-Christian businessmen. And, you know, like his... You know, he just doesn't hide Jesus. I just don't know what's with this guy. Like, you know, like, with the love of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, everything is about Jesus in here. And praise God for that. And we feel it is a huge God tool. And you really need to pray into it. Because you just don't go to India as a missionary. I am there as a senior citizen, as a grandparent, as a great-grandfather, can you believe? And I only looked like 55 years old. So all the missionaries are there under different hats, and this would give incredible favor for us. So something to pray into. My best friend is here, Laura Lee. The greatest pastor in Canada is here, and my greatest friend. I am absolutely serious. Pastor Barry Carr Dow. Soon to be Bishop Cardell, because he's going to be starting a bunch of churches, aren't you, Pastor Barton? I want to really thank all of you for your love. Like, we have gone, it's been a hard 3 years. Don't let me, make it all sound fun and exciting. It has been very, very hard, very, very hard on my wife. In the last 6 months since we had the super cyclone there, our temperatures have gone up 2 or 3 degrees during the summer, and we have had summer much longer than we should have for 6 months, where temperatures range between 42 and 35. And my wife, once it hits 35, cannot breathe. If I take her out at 40 degrees to the beach for 1 hour, she will be dead. Seriously. So the last 11 days that I've been gone, we have had nothing but noise. We've had Diwali, and then there was a worship of the Naga. I just talked to her this morning. It's like blowing grenades off from 7 in the morning till it was like 11 in the night when I talked to her. And we're just kind of situated in a really bad place. We like where we live, but it's very dusty, it's very noisy, it's just too close to everything. So first of all, I want to just really thank you for your prayer and support. My big concern recently was our agent, John Edwin. I thought for sure he was going to die, and my wife prayed all night for him. I got you guys to pray for him, and 3 days before I left for here, John Edwin is phoning on my phone and says, "Cal, I'm here to see you. Hallelujah." And he is so excited, and he lands, and resurrection power is real. And so you guys were part of praying for that, and I thank you very, very much. Thank you for blessing me with paying for my international trip here. Thank you so much. Thank you for being with us. When Hudhud hit us, the first super cyclone that hit a major Indian city last year in October, middle of October, I mean, you would not believe it. Just devastated it. All the windows in the boys' home, gone, just like that. Frames, everything, just gone. All the big trees, at least 80% of 100-year-old trees, just immediately ripped out by their roots. I have never, ever seen anything like it. It's the only time in the history of India that a super cyclone has hit a major city. We just basically, a year later, are finished doing all of our repairs. All the roofs went gone. Huge, huge. But God protected, and there's lots of good God stories out of that. Thank you for blessing us. I just want to just quickly share. I'd like to share the Word of God with you as well. I've got three brochures here. They're just fresh, hot off the press. And this is the famous Apostle Kel Franson here with some guys. I like making fun of myself. Some opportunities coming up. We have gone out into this area. This is really not the area we're going into, where I'm actually doing this, catching fish. Kandamal is a very crucial area. Laurie and I are going there we're planning to go there in January, and it was the most dangerous place in India to go. And it probably still is dangerous, but it is an exciting, exciting place. It is a place that is absolutely white onto harvest. We went there. We led hundreds and hundreds of people to the Lord. Like, you'd have a meeting, you know, maybe 1,000 people, and nobody wants to leave. And God healed. You know, it says in the name of Jesus, die. No, not dewberry. Sorry, it's fly. Not. Incredible, incredible stories there of God's providential protection. And I met with people who, you know, I met with a guy, he just needed to talk to me. And his wife was hacked to death in front of him with a machete. But God does such huge, amazing things. And the harvest is not necessarily where it's convenient for us. And that's okay. My God, who I am putting my little head under his arm, is there to protect me. And there's a story in John chapter 9. It is John devotes the whole chapter to the healing of the blind man who was sitting at the gate, 43-year-old man born blind. Well, we went to a little village and hundreds came to Christ, and we prayed, and my agent Edwin is a bit of a nuisance. We got to go fast out of there, you know. So we never really know what God did. So I had the pastor check, and we had four or five people who had been seriously ill for a whole year were instantly healed. And in John chapter 9, the blind man is healed by Jesus, and the whole chapter is about that. And he has an interesting talk with the Pharisees, because they're not appreciating the attention that Jesus is getting. And he said, "Since the beginning of time, has it ever been known that someone who was born blind has been healed? Has that ever happened?" "No." "Well, there was a blind girl in that village, and that blind girl was healed." And you see, what God is doing, he's showing that he is the living God. He is the resurrected God. India prays to over 300 million gods, and they don't answer any prayers. And I was walking one time. As a matter of fact, I was kind of depressed because I'd had a friend who had badly hurt me. And we went to the graduation of our class 10, which is a big, big event. And at the gate of the school, one of the high school teachers came and he was crying. And I says, "What's wrong?" And she says, "Well, we have just got call from the hospital. You have to come immediately because your mother will die at any minute." I prayed. I asked, "Can I pray for you?" This is a Hindu lady. I asked her if I could pray for her. To Padma, and says, "Okay." And, you know, I wasn't feeling spiritual or anything, but I prayed for her, and everybody's trying to get a hold of me in the next couple of days because I was doing something else. And Padma's mom, from the time they left the gate to the time she got home on the scooter, 10 minutes, the hospital phone, "Your mother is 100% healed." Yeah. I met the mother 2 or 3 months later, and she was definitely healed. Padma came, and I didn't recognize her, actually, about a month ago to our girls' home. And then I recognized her, and I says, "How's your mom?" "My mom's fine." And we were at church one time, and there's a whole bunch of girls coming to church. And I'm wondering what's going on. Well, little Mary, who was our sponsor child, their grandfather was in a coma, dying, and Mary went and prayed, and God raised the grandfather off of his deathbed. And, you know, it's not just, you know, it's Jesus that's doing that, okay? And that's kind of one of the things I want to do with the people. I have to leave there sometime. I'm 67, you know, and maybe God will give me, I don't know how many years there, but when I leave, you know, I can't fly over there and lay hands on somebody. And I remember teaching in Bible school, and I was doing all the praying, you know, and God was healing people and doing miracles, obviously, because I'm Cal, you know. And the Spirit of God spoke to me, and he says, like, "What are you doing, Cal?" And he said, like, don't do that. Get everybody else to do it. And God used everybody else. Not a problem, because it's in Jesus' name, and he is the living God. And the people of India need to see that. And getting back to Kandamel, which is a district in the state of Orissa, the history of it, the reason why it's so ripe is 100 years plus of Lutheran and Canadian Lutheran and Baptist missionaries ministering there. So the church has been founded and grounded. And the Hindus got very, very jealous because it was over 25% Christian there. And a guru was killed. The major guru of Orissa was killed, not by Christians, but by Naxalites. But he was on a eliminate the Christian mission. So what happened was the biggest persecution in the history of the church happened there, and 100,000 Christians were displaced. All of their homes were completely destroyed. All of the churches were destroyed. All of the big ministry centers, all their motorcycles, everything they owned was burnt. 50,000 Christians ended up in refugee camps. And you figure, oh my God, like God is not in control. Yeah, he is in control. I was going into that area, you know, with my little plans, and I found out that the Church of South India, you know, here you've got Christians, like, it was okay, you wouldn't lose your home if you put a Hindu sign, okay? That's not a problem. They would not do anything. So these 100,000 did not put any signs. They decided to lay their lives on the line for Christ. So this is a pretty pure church, okay? And the Church of South India shipped 10,000-20,000 of them down to... And so God has just, boom, dispersed. And I want to go where the harvest field is ripe. What happened with that? The whole church in the whole world started praying, okay? And that is a foundation for kingdom growth. It is not an accident that there is a white harvest field. It is not an accident. That's there because God is moving, and everywhere you go, everybody comes out. I went to one place, and it's all big churches, you know, more than 1,000, okay? And they tore them all down. And this was in 2008. I was there a year and a half ago in that place. And those Christians were kind of neat Christians because they didn't just humbly, submit. They were like me. They were like Danish, you know, like Viking. And they fought back and killed a few Hindus as well. But anyways, don't tell anybody about that. But they did destroy all the churches. I came back there, spoke in a huge church, more than 1,000 people, and all the churches. It was neat, you know, you come there on a Sunday, you hear singing of Christians all over this, and like huge churches, big churches, and they're all packed full. And everybody wants to accept the Lord. Everybody wants to accept the Lord. So we have strategic pastors and churches. And what we want to do is we want to start, we don't want to start, we already have, I have already started, I have identified the leaders I want to work with, and we've started training them and equipping them. We want to start, see the thing is, it's the same thing with me praying for healing. You know, I can go there and I've done, you know, maybe do 4 meetings, lead, you know, 500 or 1,000 people to the Lord, you know, but I can't go everywhere. I'm just one person. So, you know, God says, Kel, you dumb. No, he doesn't say that. You know, think about it. Use your wisdom. Use your brain a little bit. And what does God say? Find faithful guys. Now, we're finding some faithful guys. I've got some incredible mature leaders. So I'm going to teach them to train young guys. We're going to bring the Onesimus project into that area, and because we don't want to be stupid, okay? We're going to break poverty there. So we're going to make it so that nobody wants to get rid of us because we are doing such tremendous good works there. And we're going to train the guys to do, farm and bringing it, transferring it to the villages, and also to evangelize, to bring Christ to the villages, because everybody is accepting the Lord. And I want to be there in that harvest field. And, you guys are part of that, okay? What is the foundation of our lives, of our church, of our ministries? It's Jesus and his words. Doesn't he say in Matthew chapter 7, it says, if you build your house on the rock, Jesus, and he says, your house is your life, that when the winds come, it's not going to fall because you've built it on the eternal word of God and you've built it on the word of Jesus Christ. But what does it say a little bit earlier on in that chapter? Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. Jesus says it twice. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And just in case you didn't get that, if you ask, you will receive. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be opened. So that's where you're building your life. You're involving Jesus Christ. And so you guys are involved when we call Karen, we're dying here. Please get everybody to pray for us. We can't make it anymore. Or we got this problem, we got that problem. See, what you're doing is you're putting the ministry on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And the winds and everything else is going to blow and it's not going to fall over. So that's exciting. You are involved. When in the book of Acts they called Barnabas and Paul to be missionaries, they didn't call the whole church to go out. The church were to pray. The church were to give. The church were to stand behind, to love, to be friends, to be... You see, Jesus says, the world is going to know. The world is going to come in, says, when you are one. When you are one. Hey, we're part of a body. We are the temple of the living God. Okay, I'm sorry, but it's not. Well, I feel the presence of God here. No. Yeah, well, sure you do. But the presence of God is inside of me. Who and what is the temple of God? Put up your hands. You are. You are the temple of God. What happens at the temple of God in the Holy of Holies? There are seraphim and cherubim protecting the holiness of God. Is there not? There are angels that are involved. And it says, Jesus in his last prayer before he goes to the cross says, that they may be one. That they may be one. Same God, same faith, same Jesus. Okay, I hang out with a lot of denominational folks and we just all love each other. I don't care if they're Baptist or just certain kinds of Baptists. That really bothers me. No, we're one. We love each other and we care for each other. We watch each other's back. My wife is there alone and in India right now. That's kind of hard for me to be away from her. They're watching. Watching her back. They're taking care of her and being there for her. And we need to be one. It says, if I get into my stuff here, I'll be here all day. So maybe I shouldn't. But I want to tell you that this is so, so holy. It is so holy. This 330 million gods in India. You know, a billion people looking in 330 million different directions, in the wrong directions. And we bring the presence of a living God. Why did God heal that blind woman? Because I brought the presence of the living God. I am the temple of the living God. You are the temple of the living God. This is bigger than, oh, Kel, the healing evangelist, the apostle. No, this is about Jesus. He is the birthing of faith. He is the author of faith and the creator. What does it say? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And what is the first thing it talks about? It says, by faith, we understand that God, Jesus, created heaven and earth. Unlimited. Absolutely unlimited. And those people are all Old Testament saints in chapter 11. They're all Jews. Abraham, Noah, Samson. They receive their dead back, and it says that they never received what we have. They never received what we have. In John chapter 14, it says that he, the Spirit of God, was with you. Now, he is going to come inside of you. Through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, legally, Jesus stepped into heaven, and he stepped into heaven to be the high priest and to be the one, the source of faith. It says in Colossians chapter 1, it says that faith and love come through hope. Where does hope come from? It says that before, it says that God had hidden something from us. And the hidden thing was Christ in you. And Christ in you is the hope. So faith and love, it says the love of the Holy Spirit. Faith and love come through a person, through Jesus Christ. It's solid. It is absolutely solid. You know, we're not chasing the presence of God. He is inside of us. The presence of God is inside of us. And that's what we're bringing to India. It is absolutely huge. And we have the authority from the God of heaven and earth. It says, listen to this, okay? Daniel chapter 7. In my vision at night, I saw in front of me someone, this is verse 13, who looked like a human being coming on the clouds of the sky. Jesus Christ. He came near God, who has been alive forever, and he was led to God. He was given authority, glory, and the strength of a king. People of every tribe, nation, and language will serve him. His rule will last forever, and his kingdom will never, ever be destroyed. Hallelujah. That is Jesus, right? Correct? God judged in favor, verse 22, of the holy people who belong to the Most High God. Then the time came for them to receive the power to rule. In Luke it says, you will receive power. What is the power? It is the power to rule. It is the power to bring the kingdom of God. Now the kingdom of God is an invisible kingdom. I am not becoming... it's okay if you want to do that. I'm not going to challenge Justin Trudeau. I've got something bigger than that. Something bigger. There's something beautiful about this mission organization that Ban Hui is involved in Singapore. It says the church is the heart of the city or the nation of Singapore. The church is the heart. Start praying for Justin Trudeau. Pray. Bind demons around him. Pray that he will come to Christ. That is his destiny. Our authority. Listen to this. Then the saints, the holy people who belong to the Most High God, verse 27 of Daniel 7, will have the power to rule. They will rule over all the kingdoms. This is the Abrahamic covenant, by the way. Under heaven, with power and greatness, and their power to rule will last forever. Matthew 28:19, is that correct, Pastor Barry? You know, I have all power. I have all authority. You see, our destiny, okay, in the Old Testament, the taking of Canaan and the temple worship, the physical temple worship, forget about physical, okay? The early Jews, they missed it completely. They thought Jesus was going to become a political thing and physically take over the Roman Empire and sit on the throne and kick Caesar off. No, Jesus says very perfectly, he says, you are right. I am a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. And this scripture, this is the reality of what was only a shadow in the Old Testament. The temple, the tabernacle were shadows. They were only shadows. You see, Jesus has entered into heaven, the sanctuary. And, you know, the high priest, as a high priest that will live forever and ever, once and for all sacrifice. Oh, brother, you know, you don't understand the sin that I committed today. It is so big that Jesus is going to have to come back on the cross and die for that sin. You would not believe. Brother and sister, you know, you're going to have to go to Pastor Barry, and he's going to have to go to Hebrews chapter 8 and teach you the covenant. I will not remember your sins and your iniquities any more. Period. The blood has paid for it. In the Old Covenant temple, the high priest would not leave the temple. Jesus is in the heavenly temple. He is looking after. It says all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In Christ Jesus, it's all there. He's looking after. It is yours. You may not feel like it. I don't feel like it sometimes. I didn't feel like that lady's mother would rise out of her deathbed. I didn't feel like it, you know. But the reality is that Jesus is looking after the spiritual part of the spiritual realities, the things that are real, the heavenly stuff. Paul says, we have no confidence in the flesh. None. He says, I do not live. Christ lives inside of me. Why? Because there is a greater issue here. The greater issue is I am the temple of God. All these people all over the world are looking for God. Here he is. I'm not God, do you understand? But here he is. Here he is. Look at Titus. It is the reason why, main reason why I'm in India, Titus chapter 1. It's in the Bible somewhere, I think. No, it's not there. Verse 3. Verse 2. That faith and the knowledge come from the hope for life forever, which God promised to us before time began. He promised eternal life. And God cannot lie. Verse 3. At the right time, God let the world know about that light through preaching. That eternal life has a personality. It's called Jesus Christ. It's the same as being in Christ. It's that mystery. And we bring life. Everybody outside of Christ is dead. They're dead when they don't know God. This is eternal life, that you may know me. This is eternal life. And unless you know God, if you don't know God, you're dead. And we have this privilege. And it's not, why does it say in John chapter 14? It says, did you hear that? To preaching. It's preaching, okay? And we're bringing an invisible kingdom. It says in Joshua chapter 1, it says, Joshua, you have to be strong and very courageous. Joshua, you have to be strong and very courageous. Only be very strong and very courageous. Brothers and sisters, you're going to have to be very strong, very, very courageous. If you want to rule with Christ, if you want to be on the cutting edge, okay, this is not good news, okay? One thing, you have to suffer. Okay? Like I was in Winners yesterday, and there was a husband and wife, and they had two little cherub twins. They were under 2 years, they were just 3 months old, I think. And they had two or three other little kids, and they were just the most beautiful little angels, you know. And then, and they were driving, you know, in the double barrel baby cart. And, you know, then I'm sitting down in a chair because I'm 67 years old and I was tired, and Banhui and Jasmine have the spirit of shopping on them. Shop till you drop. They are Canadian. And here, the same couple come by and the babies are screaming their heads off. Okay? You know, you're going to suffer if you have 5 or 6 kids. I've got 27 kids, and they break my heart. And it's hard sometimes. It's difficult many times. I have to make decisions that hurt me, and I have to cry many times. And we struggle. And I feel I've got a really small family, and I am their dad. I am their dad. You know, I asked Damayanti, do you want me to, Damayanti doesn't have a father. Her father died of HIV. I says, Damayanti, do you want me to be your grandfather or your father? She says, no, I want you to be my father. And you see, Colossians 1 says, the love of the Spirit. What is the love of the Spirit? It's the grace of God. You see, God inhabiting the temple is also inhabiting us with this omnipotence. And I want to just share with you John chapter 14. Okay, it's before Hebrews, definitely. John chapter 14. And Jesus says, and you know, and Jesus has the audacity to say this twice, just in case you didn't get it, okay? Jesus says this. And what it is Philip is saying something. He says, show us the Father. You know, I am really interested to know what God is like. Show me the Father. I want to know what God is like. And so, the context is pretty powerful. You know, chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16, and 17 is the last day of Jesus' life. He is with his best friends, the apostles, in the upper room. And this is serious stuff. This is where he talks about the vine. And he says, you can do nothing without me. This thing that I am bringing to you, this life, and this stuff that I'm bringing to you, you have to have me. You know, Paul says, everything I was, all the glorious things I was doing, you know, the spiritual gymnastics, I count them as garbage because I have gotten something. I have gotten the holiness, the righteousness of God. Sin has been broken in my life. I have the power of God that lives inside of me. Do I do that all the time? No, because I forget. You know, and we forget, and then we get into the flesh, and we don't walk the way we should be walking. And so, stop doing that. You know, I mean, I got to tell you this. This is This is a story of suffering that you could not believe, okay? I was in Nanaimo. And there's this place where you get the best steak on the island, okay? Moxie's. A certain type of steak, okay? This is right from heaven, okay? And I get in there, you know, and it's got to be not medium, really. It's got to be a little bit towards rare, Pastor Ban Hui, you know. And I hope you got steaks here, because I had his nephew here about 15, 16 years ago, and we sent a picture of barbecuing a big steak, and he has never gotten that out of his mind. You know, he has never defeated that thought. So, actually, I'm going to barbecue him a steak tonight. But can you believe it? I'm sitting there, you know, and you know, everything else was okay, but the steak was not perfect. And my whole life was ruined. I'm telling you, can you imagine suffering like that, brother? You know, you led worship. You know, can you imagine suffering like that? And Lori says, you know, Kel, you know, like, this is a beautiful, perfect day, you know? You know, this is not who you are. And this is a message. That's not who you are anymore, okay? You are the saints of God. You are the holy ones of God that have the power of God and who have had sin broken in your life. It's been broken. Jesus came to take away the sin of the world, the Lamb that came to sin. Take it away! Not just forgive your sin, to take the power. Romans 6:6, power. Less, make it powerless in your life. I was crucified with Christ. I no longer live. That part of my life is gone. So show us the Father, okay? And it says here, I tell you the truth. Whoever believes in me will do the same things I do. You have got to be kidding, Jesus. Those who believe will do even greater things than these, because I go to the Father. You know, right. And if you ask for anything in my name, I will do it for you, so that the Father's glory will be shown through the Son. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. So he says it twice. And he goes on to say, what's going to happen to you, I'm going to go away. It's very beneficial that I go away. The Spirit is going to come inside of you, and the Father is going to come inside of you. And this is all about the glory of God, okay? Now, Jesus did not go to India. I have gone to India. I've gone to Nepal and other countries. I've even gone to Singapore for the kingdom of God, following obediently Ban Hui around to all of the best eating places in Singapore. Hallelujah. But, you see, Jesus only went to one group of people, the Jews. That's it. And that's a greater work, okay? I have gone to a number of countries, and so have many of you. And you know what? You just think of one thing, okay? Well, you know, raising the dead, you know, Lazarus, and, you know, lepers cleansed, and, you know, this is what you think. But I want you to look at a verse, and this is really important. 1 John, I think it's chapter 2. See, in India, you know, when you get your blonde moment and you forget exactly what you were talking about. You've got this interpreter, so you've got about a minute, you know. Listen to this. This is kind of the same topic, you know, same John that wrote this, okay? 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. Whoever says that he lives in God must live as Jesus lived. The work of the Christian is to believe. That's your work. Okay? As far as no condemnation, your sins forgiven, you have to believe that. Okay? You don't work for that. I'm sorry, brother, you were not on the cross. Okay, that was not where you were. Your job is to believe. Your job is to receive, that you have authority to reach this world for Christ. Authority to do that. Authority to reach this island. Bishop Barry, I'm speaking prophetically. I'm expecting you to start a bunch of churches. Seriously. You know what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2? It says that, you know, Barry and I are friends, okay? Now, nobody really knows Barry except Barry. Nobody really knows Cal except Barry. And if we can disclose one another to each other, okay? And he has no idea where I'm going, okay? And this is so powerful, okay? And it says, nobody knows God. Nobody, you have got to be kidding. The creator of heaven and earth. How in the world can you ever, ever know him? But it says, you have been given the spirit of the living God. 1 Corinthians 6, it says, you have been made one spirit with God. And it ends up with, you, Barry, have the mind of Christ. There is somebody greater than Solomon, that is wiser than Solomon, that has come, and he's living inside of you. He's speaking to you. And God, how do I win Nanaimo to the Lord? He's going to counsel him. He's going to speak to him. Wisdom of God makes sense. This is going to work. Hallelujah. Onesimus is going to work. Why? Because it's the wisdom of God. He's all excited and he's thinking, wow, this is, you know, we put all of this together. They got 9 acres. 9 acres is millions and millions of dollars in Singapore, okay? They got 9 acres. They've invested a very large amount of money, and God is just putting it all together. They got 6 big greenhouses, as big as this building here. They're going to have 15 pretty soon. This is not some small, dinky little thing, okay? They've got a doctor of agriculture. They've got hydroponic engineers. They've got pastors that have been called for 20 years to do this thing. This is God putting something big together. This is a huge thing. And exciting, eh, Banwi? Hallelujah. He's Mr. Excitement. He gets me excited. Whoever says that he lives in God must live as Jesus lived. But what is it talking about? It's talking about the love of God being perfected. That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about raising the dead here at all. And it's not about India. It's about the world. My grace, your grace that God has put inside of you is for the world. And it says, Joshua chapter 1, you know, Joshua, you're entering your rest. In other words, you are going to be doing what you were created to be. That is your rest, okay? If you want to be a father, you're going to have children, brother, and that will be your rest as a father. Your rest as a born-again Christian, in that time, was to take Canaan and to establish Jehovah, the Lord God of heaven and earth, as the God of those of that place. What is our rest? It says in Hebrews chapter 4, there is a rest for us. There is a rest. There is something that you were born to do, something you were born to be, okay? It's not some revival, okay? I was born again in the charismatic revival. I was in the faith movement. I was in the blessing movement. I was in many other, and beautiful, I love it. It's fantastic. It's the Holy Spirit coming and kissing you on the cheek and exciting you and all of those type of things. But there's something a lot bigger than that. What I have been born again to do is to bring the kingdom, the authority. Let's talk about God, okay? This is the creator of heaven and earth has given you the authority to take Campbell River, to take Comox Valley. This is where you will become alive. This is your rest. A Lamborghini is meant to go on this highway and go 160. You know. And Laura Lee thinks he is driving a Lamborghini. That's what you were meant to be. You will not be happy. You know, Salem Church was established, it's a missionary church established by great people of God, Ikonens, from Finland 45 years ago. And great, great people. Their spiritual whatever was the Osborne, T.L. and Daisy Osborne. Does any of you know them? Yeah, T.L. and Daisy Osborne, incredible people. They were a husband and wife team. They ministered together for 60 years, and they started their ministry actually in India. And because of their vision and what have you, the Ikonens got their spiritual mentoring from that. Now, my wife and I, in the teachings in the area of faith and prosperity, I got that from them because they were former Baptists. They were very biblical, and they happened to be the greatest faith healers that have ever lived in the history of the church. Nobody has seen more healing than T.L. and Daisy Osborne. And T.L. Osborne happened to come to Andhra Pradesh about 45 minutes from where I lived, okay? And they had a big impact because they personally prayed for Lori and I. We were in a very abusive church situation, and they prayed for us, and they bound spirits, and we were free to leave. It was like somebody cut the ties. They knew what they were doing. T.L. talked of Daisy as being very mean to the devil. And great, great, great man and woman of God. And they were there about 5 years ago, 6 years ago. It was one of his last crusades. He's passed away now. And he was there. And I really, you know, it was great. I could go see him. But I really didn't feel I needed to go see him. Why? Because I was living what I was meant to live. I was doing what God had called me to do. And what, you know, living in who you are, in that rest of God, what God has called you to be, is where you will find life. It is where you will be excited, okay? It is where you will be fulfilled. Is it tough? Oh, yes, it's very tough. Very, very tough. It is not easy, okay? And it's not easy in a place like India, which is demonically controlled. But the last verse before Jesus prays in John chapter 16, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Do I like 42 degrees, 44 degrees? No, I don't like 44 degrees. But I'm alive. Do I want to go back to comfortable Comox? I was screaming at Banui last night. There is a big traffic jam. You know, there's one car on the road. You know, we come, oh no, we're home. Too late, you know, it's 7:30, there's nobody on the street. Everything is dark, everybody is shut down for the night, you know. No. So, I'd like you to pray. One of the things, you see, God has chosen you to be our home church. Do you understand? God has chosen Salem to be our home Asian church. He has, I think he has. And it's a huge miracle that Banhui and Jasmine are here. And God has put an anointing on you. What does Paul say? He says, the grace to win the world, you know, it was not, he says, I did more than all of the other apostles. He says, I am the least of the apostles. Oh, you don't understand. We're just a tiny little church. No, what you don't understand the grace of God. It says in Ephesians, and I believe Ephesians is God's blueprint for winning the world. I believe Paul wrote down how to win the world for Christ. I believe he wrote down the strategy for taking the grace, that grace that took his world in his day. I believe Ephesians is all about that. To pray and know your authority. To pray and know you have all spiritual blessings. To pray and know you have the resurrection power of God. To pray the love of God. And to pray the unity of the Spirit. And the wisdom to understand you're in a spiritual battle. To pray for open doors. And it's all there. You know, pray, what do I say when I speak? You know, how do I open the door? I know that if I am to speak to this lovely young lady here, there is a door. And only God can open it. And how does it open? Matthew 7:7-8. Knock, and the door will be open. You ask God to open the door. You know, you ask God to open the door. God has designed the Spirit. It says, when the Spirit comes upon you, there will be power, and you will be witnesses. You will show what the Father is like. You're gonna win your community to Christ. This is what's going to happen. And just a few things. I'm going to close off because I know Barry's looking at the clock. But, yeah, that's okay. I don't need to eat. Seriously, I got all these. I had to wear my old jeans here because none of my pants fit. I can't believe it. It's all Bon Hui's fault. But just really pray for us. We really need to move into a different place. We need to see our personal support come up. What has happened with a Canadian dollar come down, we were losing about $1,000 a month because of the rate coming down from 64 to 50 or whatever. The other thing is the daycare, I really would like to see and pray. You know, I'm meeting a number of people on my trip here. That God will open the doors. I'd like to see us sponsor 100 kids. Why? Because we have 100 kids. But also because then I can start hiring teachers and I can start bringing this where it's supposed to go. Another very ripe harvest field is the slums. And we do our Christmas programs in the slums. It costs, you know, we need a few thousand dollars to do a number of things in the next month. And that's another adventure you need to go on. Paul says, Barry preached this at Powerhouse Church in Carput District in Orissa about giving. You need to learn the power of giving, that it is a grace, and it is connecting into the resources of God, and it works. Okay, like I give away half of what we get through Grace Life Ministries, I give it away into the ministry. You know, and, you know, I'm crying one day. God, you know, I'm dying here. Like, what's wrong? You know, like, can't you give me a car? The next day, 4 different sources. The money came in, you know, and we bought a Honda Eon that is just a blessing, you know. And look at here, you know. You go up there, there's this beautiful car out there. It's a brand new car, okay? And my friend happens to own the largest dealership. He says, Kel, you use that. The whole time you're here, you don't have to pay me anything. Isn't our God incredible? Isn't our God good? You know, the week before we left, like my manager, he's been bugging me. He says, Kel, we need to have like couch and chair and stuff for our home, and then we also felt that we wanted to have a TV for our girls' home, you know, just, you know, sometimes she likes to watch TV and for the girl, you know, to play movies and stuff like that. And we just really felt that was something that was needed. And I mean, I had no money, nothing, you know, and we were sitting down to pray. She just mentioned it, okay? And we're sitting down to pray, and we just started praying and the phone rings. And it's the guy that owns the house that we're leasing. And he says, "Cal, I have a couch set and I have a TV. Can you use that?" Isn't that exciting?
So good.
You know? And I do confess I worry and I get scared of stuff. And I have to deal with that. That's my flesh. But like this year, God has supplied. Like through Rotary, we had 6 people sponsored university, nursing, college. And we have serious needs of, you know, I'm going to have another 3 extra people and another guy going into university come April. And so there's a lot of money needed. And so it's an adventure. And God is asking you to be part of the adventure. And God says, "I will bless you." He says, "I invite you into this grace." And God is good. So please pray for us. We want us. We're starting. I'm kind of pulling back from what I have been doing. I'm letting all of my leaders take kind of my hat. I feel it's the time to do that. And I am pursuing this, starting ministries in training and ministries. I'll be very, very busy. I'll be just as busy as I ever have been. Ministries in Orissa. And secondly, also, we want to start, as soon as the Lord supplies the finances, we want to start doing serious. This is life and death type of stuff, guys, like the stuff in the slums. These kids really need serious protection. And I love them, and they're beautiful kids. And God is inviting us to get involved. You see, why did Jesus say to Peter, you know, "Do you love me?" Okay, 3 times he says, "Yeah, I love you." And then he says, "Feed my sheep." 3 times he says, "Do you love me, Peter, to feed my sheep?" Why? Because we are the hands and feet. Okay, we are the ones that do that. It's us. God has given us the grace. And that's how we rule. We rule in love. We are bringing love. God spoke to me, "Cal, I have made you a young man again." And I know he did not mean that I'm, you know, physically gotten younger. What he, I felt, told me was, "You're doing what you used to do when you were a young man. You are looking after a little 6-year-old girl. You are looking after little kids. You know, I'm worried about, you know, how do they survive in that school, you know, where do I put my girls when they're going into nursing, you know, I'm worried about all of those type of things that I used to worry about when my kids were little. God has given me the privilege of another lifetime." Hallelujah. And I've just got another story here. So anyways, I really, it's just a privilege to be here. Thank you so much. You guys have been more than generous, and I am very, very excited and proud to be part of this family. I love you very much. Take this prayer business is really serious, okay? And God answers your prayers. He really, really does in Jesus' name. He is a powerful God. I shouldn't even really be here. I got sick in Victoria. I had no sleep coming here. And hey, I feel okay. And I'm going to barbecue steaks tonight. Anyways, from Lori. Lori and I really, really love you. I really appreciate, you know, being able to Skype Barry and things like that. It's just a real tremendous privilege. I really respect his wisdom. You have a very, very great pastor. I am serious. You really do. And pray for me also. I have become the spiritual father of another Dr. Pat Nayak. He has about 1,300 pastors under him, and he wants me to be his spiritual daddy. and I love him and he loves me, and I'm going there 17th to the 20th of December. And what I love about this guy is he pays for everything, Pastor Barry. This guy is so anointed. He pays for my train trip, puts me up in a hotel, and his wife is a really good cook, so. Yeah. So, hallelujah. No way!
Okay. I didn't mean it that way. I just wanted to pray for him, so I thought we should pray. We are going to have lunch, and we're going to hang out, and we've got a little bit of things to prep for that, so please hang out and come over and see, too. There's ways to sponsor kids. If you haven't sponsored any Children with Grace Life and you feel led to do that, come and talk to Kel. And also, if you have any questions for Bon Nui and for Jasmine and what they're doing in Singapore. And, you know, I really want to say this to you, just, and I know we've all been sitting for a while, but we welcome you here because I don't think we always realize, like, these are our brothers and sisters who are doing significant work for the kingdom in Singapore, and they're with us today. And ought we not just welcome you and love you and say, you are us and we are you. And so get to know them. Talk to them during the break for lunch. But let's pray and pray for the ministry. And we just thank you, Lord, for Kel and for Lori and for Bon Nui and Jasmine and for Grace Life Ministries and all that you're doing there. And we do pray, Lord. We see your hand in so many things. We see your miracles. We see your kingdom breaking through. We see hundreds of people coming to Christ, responding to the gospel. And yet we know, too, there's so much more that you want to put in place. I pray, Lord, as the church, that we would hear your voice and we would build what you're wanting to build. And we want to come alongside Kel and Lori and the team and just believe in them and support them and be a part of this work in India. We pray your kingdom come, your will be done in Orissa, in India, in Vizagapatnam, in Singapore, Lord. And use these people, use Kel and Lori, use Bon Nui and Jasmine and their team. And Father, we pray that there would be growth and blessing and favor and fruit that would just blossom from these works. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.